Welcome to Building the Athlete. I'm your host, Scott Benson, and we are into November somehow. I'm happy you're here with me today. We've got a great guest today in Tip Ryman, tight end for the Arizona Cardinals. Tip is a 6 foot, 5.5 inch, 272 pound wrecking machine on the field. Has run a 4.51 40 yard dash. So normally you don't see people that size running that fast. We're going to find out how he does it. Before we get into the interview, we're going to take a question from a parent. So parent writes in and asks, I have a sophomore son who is a great athlete. He plays multiple sports, and we feel like he could potentially go on to the college level in a couple different sports. At this age, what would you have him focusing on in his training? The one thing I always talk about with this is speed. Speed separates athletes at every level in every sport. So it's one of the things, for whatever reason, that's, in my opinion, it's the most overlooked aspect of training. And I think too often kids get labeled by coaches as either being fast or not fast, and that's kind of the end of the story. I highly disagree with that. I think kids can be taught to become faster. I think they can be trained to become faster. So I would spend a lot of time hiring somebody who's had a lot of success as a speed development coach. It's also important. Athletes need to be in the weight room. Getting stronger, getting more explosive is a way to increase speed. But it all has to be tied together by the right performance coach. So stay tuned. The next episode will actually revolve around this topic. We're going to have a professional baseball player on who we will be talking speed development the entire time. Again, my name is Scott Benson. I own Benson Sports Training. It's a sports performance company. Been around for about 16 years, trained thousands of athletes. I have trained over 400 professional and NCAA athletes. And again, our philosophy is training athletes to be faster, more explosive, stronger, and to move better. You can find me at bensonsportstraining.com or Benson Sports Training on Facebook and Instagram. Please visit, give a like, give a comment. Would love to hear from you. All right, so coming up, Tip Ryman, Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be a lot of fun talking to Tip, so settle in and let's have a good conversation.
Founded in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered live radio broadcasts over the internet. We ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. Our live broadcasts stream on over 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks. Visionary entrepreneurs Douglas and Donald Newsom have crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. Experience the pinnacle of web radio and TV engineering. Compare our unbeatable prices, exceptional services, and comprehensive offerings with any other professional provider, and you'll see why we're unparalleled in the industry. Call us at 1-800-338-4393. BBS Radio TV, a pioneer of new media production since 2004. We're not just changing lives, we're rattling cages. Tune in to a sitting senator, a bishop, doctor, a lawyer, even a celebrity host going from A to Z on the information spectrum. Here at BBS Radio TV, your world is about to expand. From metaphysical politics to 3D chess, we cover the full spectrum of mind candy to set you free. Oh, and one more thing. Call 1-800-338-4393 to become a talk show host. That's 1-800-338-4393.
All right. Welcome to the show, Tip Ryman of the Arizona Cardinals, a tight end, 6 foot, 5.5, 272 pounds. This guy's run a 4.51 40-yard dash, formerly of University of Illinois, and was a third-round draft pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Tip, welcome to the show. Welcome to Building the Athlete. Excited that you're here, and
excited to get into it with you. I'd ask that you please introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I'm really excited to be here. And yeah, a little bit about myself is I appreciate the intro by you, Scott. So ground up, grew up in Sturgis, South Dakota, and played a little bit of ball over there. Played a lot of sports, kind of tried out everything, trying to see what fit. You know, gymnastics wasn't my thing to continue with, so I ended up veering away from there. I tried a lot of stuff like that. My parents were really supportive in the base layering in sports. You know, I figured out what strength and conditioning was pretty quickly. And just, I'm a researcher. I love to research everything that I possibly can and look into anything and read everything. And so anything I could get my hands on when I was young, I did. And so I started reading lots of articles and some new papers, and I discovered what, you know, studies were and stuff and at a young age. And so I got into kind of the speed and strength and conditioning world and dipped my toe in. Obviously, I was super a newbie at that time, but since I figured out what things were, I was training. And as I look back, a lot of it was GPP, you know, a lot of general physical preparedness stuff, lots of flipping tires. You know, I would go to Mr. Tire, get some free ones, and I would get used fire hoses from the firehouse in Sturgis, and just different things. And I would get those, and I would use them as battle ropes. Like, so I would just find different ways of training. And that was a really fun thing. It got me into strength and conditioning in this whole world. And slowly I learned about all the different things that I'm sure we'll get into today.
So what ages are you talking about here?
Oh yeah, good question. So I'm talking about first grade is when I started. You know, I would load a 4x4 up on my back, and I would put pails on each side with sand in them, and I would just lunge until I fell on my face. And so, like stuff like that, the tires and everything. I just wanted to do hard things that I could tell. I didn't know the science behind everything, but I knew I was doing something hard that was going to make me better and tougher than other people. So that's kind of where things began. Then I started playing sport more competitively. A little bit less, you know, just like in the fluff, trying to figure stuff out, and a little bit more like we're working on this in the off season a little bit, and I've got an idea of where I'm going. And so that was more middle school. That was where I'm putting in a little bit more effort into certain things as I'm refining what I think I'll be good at. And to give little details as we go, grew up in Sturgis, started my journey there, and then transferred over to St. Thomas More. That was in eighth grade when I met you and started getting to train with you. And so that really kicked me off, which was a really important thing. And then I was with you for 3.5 years, and then did a year and a half over in Sioux Falls. And at that time, my sports had dwindled from everything when I was little to maybe a couple of things, to when I met you, it was basketball, track, football. And then as we had our time together, it kind of got more refined, track and football, and then really just a little bit of track maybe, and powerlifting in the off season. But that gets into what we're talking about today, mainly football. Football was the focus. Track was like, I basically did the practices, you know, to be able to continue with that speed and get different stimulus. But that all fell into that strength and conditioning world for me. And the whole emphasis was on football being really refined there for me. And the whole off season was dedicated to training. So a little bit about my upbringing there. From there, I walked on at University of Illinois. I had a scholarship offer from South Dakota and South Dakota State. Some stuff was going on in recruiting. It's kind of odd. But I had a walk-on opportunity. And so I said, you know, I know I can make it to the top level, and how can I not be denied, you know, at that top level? Well, if I'm a great tight end in the Big Ten over an FCS school, I know I can't be denied, you know, that there's no arguing against that case if I'm a really good tight end in the Big Ten. And so that's what I did. Earned a scholarship in a year, started starting some games in my sophomore year, started every game from junior year on. I did 4 seasons, graduated with kinesiology degree in 3.5 years. And then I got, like you said, drafted in the third round, and, you know, been here for about 2 years now in Arizona. So really grateful. But that's a little bit about my story. I appreciate the intro.
Yeah. So the way you're kind of talking, you're talking about being a walk-on at the University of Illinois, but you're also in the same sentence, you're kind of leading on that you knew there was more down the road, that you had ambitions to play in the NFL, even as a walk-on at Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, shoot, since I was little, I remember friends and moms of friends telling me in third grade or something, you know, I think it was third grade. It was when I pointed at an Adrian Peterson poster in my friend's bedroom. And I said, I'm going to be in the NFL one day. And him and his mom were like, no way, there's no shot. You know, you're not going to do that. And so since then, I mean, I know since I was really little, I've had that desire and I've played the game and trained for the game with that intent in mind, like knowing, hey, if I'm going to get here, there's steps that I have to take that, you know, I feel like that was one of the ways. There's a lot of ways that pushed me, but that was one of the ways that was a convicting thing. Like, I know there's other dudes working out there that are on the same path, and I'm going to work harder to get to that same location. And, you know, kind of just having that step-by-step mindset of I'm going to push to the side things that hinder me so I can run full speed at the goal ahead. So yeah, from a young age, that was something that was able to kind of transform the way that I trained and thought. And the thinking is where everything comes from, right? It's all in the mind. Your body's just going to do what your mind allows it to do. And pushing those lines in the sand, if you will, stretching yourself beyond what you possibly think you can do, especially with the help of coaches that can bring it out of you, like you did for me. I mean, that's everything, because that sets your trajectory for something much higher than just in the moment things.
That's awesome. I'm going to make a comment and then we're going to take a step back real quick. And something that you just said right there, I said this in the intro, I don't think I've ever met an athlete who has done all of the right things for a consistent period of time. I mean, throughout your career, you've always done the right things. And I think you're a testament to what can actually be accomplished. So I always talk about your genetic ceiling. And I don't think most athletes, I think most athletes go through their career and they maybe get to about 70%. I think you're a guy that has found a way through that mental strength to get to as close to that genetic ceiling as you can. I remember back a conversation we had when you were a freshman in college, and you told me that you were going to graduate in 3.5 years and you were going into the NFL draft. And this is as a walk-on at Illinois. Mm. So, you know, I'd never doubt you, but there was, you know, a little voice in my head like, wow, wow, this kid, he either really knows what he's doing or, you know, maybe he's a little bit crazy. And I mean, sure enough, you graduated in 3.5 years, you went into the NFL draft, and you know, here you are. And we can get into kind of the mental side of it a little bit more, but I want to tell a little bit of story here about kind of the first time that I was introduced to you. It was actually my wife and I were skiing and I ran into your dad and we stopped and we went into the chalet and had a drink and we're just talking. And he was telling me about this son that he had. And, you know, that's kind of what brought us together. And he was, you know, telling me you're a pretty good athlete. And, you know, I've worked with some dudes along the way. You know, and I'm not saying this in any type of derogatory way, but, you know, when you came into the gym as a 13-year-old, I think you were a tall, skinny kid with big feet that was a little bit clumsy. you were not a guy that I was going to, I immediately thought, oh, this guy's going to play on Sundays, you know, because mm-hmm. I've seen those guys that have come through the door and that are just, you know, genetically, they're already close to that ceiling without ever really doing a whole lot. And you were not that guy. You were a guy that had to work for it and had to do all those things right. So if you could just maybe touch on that for a second.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And I think that's a really good way to put it, Scott, is the genetic potential and what goes into maximizing that. And it was tough, you know, coming into the gym. There's a lot of dudes that were in the gym and, you know, there's posters of lots of All-Americans and lots of talent that came through your gym and just, you know, South Dakota in general. And so there's high standards and seeing all of that. Knowing where I was, I was a bit of a late bloomer as well. So I felt like extra puny at the time, you know? And so seeing where I was I felt like there was just, I had this drive, I had this dream, I had this conviction that this is gonna happen. I had no roadmap of how exactly it was gonna happen, but I just felt the conviction of like, I need to train this way, I need to think this way, I need to have this mentality in order to make this happen, because it's just going to happen. There's just, it's written, you know? And so I felt like it was already written, and that I was walking in the footsteps that I didn't know where they were leading or where the next one was, but I was just trying to be obedient to what I felt like was the very best next option and the very best that I could draw from myself in every one of those moments. And so like having this big picture view and this mentality of where I'm going and understanding that I can't get there unless I look right here and I give my very best in this one moment. And so I felt like my mentality has always been that. And now obviously I've had micro evolutions and everything, you know, and I've evolved over the years, but the mentality stays the same of I'm going to lay a full brick every single day and I'm building a mansion every single day. I'm building a mansion. I'm laying a full brick every single day, and I'm not skipping out on any corners. I'm not laying a brick with a chip in it. I'm not skipping out on grout. I'm doing all the things the right way. And I want to attack it that way. And so when I look back, like you're saying, and I look back and I see the scrawny and clumsy me, you know, that I wanted so bad to be strong. I wanted so bad to be fast, all these things, but I wasn't quite there yet. But I do see every single day my best was on display, and that being my best effort, you know, because obviously there's ebbs and flows with performance, but my best effort was gonna be on display. And I take that with me continually today, because obviously I can't stop growing now. And there's always someone coming to take my job now. But through that growing process, through the realization of what can I do with my genetics, how high can I go with this, knowing there's an end goal, but focusing on the now and maximizing every single moment, laying that full brick, that foundation, that building to that mansion, I was really focused on those moments and being the best version of myself in every single one of those little moments. And I still am obsessed with that today. And that looks like a lot of different things in different facets of life, you know, spiritually, physically, relationally, anything like that. But it's all about the very best effort that I can possibly put in that day, that moment. And then I like to say stack days, you know, a lot of people say that. And I really believe that you just stack and you keep stacking and you just see how high you can go. And for me, you know, everyone's story is different, and this isn't a recipe to get to the NFL for everybody or professional of whatever sport you play in, but this is a recipe to maximize yourself. And I see that as more valuable, because if everyone has the same dream, then it's no longer cool, you know. It's no longer theirs. It's just the one dream. So, in everybody's dream, anybody listening to this, everyone is called to something different. Now, how can I maximize my very best effort in every single moment and just stack it and lead me to whatever I'm being called to and whatever I'm pursuing? And so that's, I hope that answers your question. That's kind of, that was my approach.
Yeah. You said something very profound there. Excuse me. You know, sports has a lot of great life lessons. And what you were saying about how, you know, what you're saying and stacking those bricks and getting better, that's not necessarily a formula to become an NFL football player. Right. It's a formula to become a successful human being. And that's one of my big philosophies is, you know, it's awesome to be able to work with people like yourself and other professional athletes, but that's such a rare thing. What I'm concerned about is setting people up to be successful in life. And sports is going to be done. It's a fraction of our time. And we have a lot of life after that. And the lessons we learn from sports can really carry us through careers, marriages, all of those things, parenting. So that was I really liked what you said there. Kind of can go different ways on this. Like I said, when you walked into my gym, you weren't a guy that I said, absolutely going to be playing on Sundays physically. Mm-hmm. But the way that you're describing how you approach everything mentally is it's spot on to the majority of the high-end athletes that I've ever worked with share that just mental approach to everything, not cutting corners, doing the right things consistently. From what you've said today, you were kind of just wired that way. You were kind of born that way. That's not everybody. And so mm-hmm. my goal with this show is to educate parents, coaches, athletes on how they can get better. So from a guy that's wired to be successful, and you're going to be successful no matter what you do because it's just who you are. I see a lot of kids these days, and I just had this conversation with somebody the other day that, you know, they're on the JV team, and the person that plays their position on the varsity team is only a junior. So rather than getting in the gym and doing the right things and earning that spot, they just give up. They just quit. So number one, did you ever feel that? Did you ever come to points in your career as a middle schooler, as a young high schooler, where you wanted to give up and you wanted to quit? And if so, can you give us some examples of that? And number two, what would you say to one of these kids that wants to quit because that starting position is not readily available?
First point, yes, very much yes. There's been a lot of things that I've wanted to quit in life and in sport. And one of the biggest kickers for me was just that my dad preached like Ryman's don't quit. You know, like we just don't. We run through and we don't quit until it's over and the fire's out. You know what I mean? Like, so that was instilled in me from a young age. So any parents listening, you gotta be tough. You gotta be a good role model, and especially the dads, you gotta model that, because my dad's a fighter in whatever he does. You know, I got to see that. You know, that's a huge, huge deal. What a platform to spring me forward in life from, to be able to see how to be tough and how to be resilient. So that's one note I would say on that. But there was a lot of areas, since we're relating to sport, I would say freshman year football, I was getting wrecked. I was not good by any means, especially as I look back now. I was very mediocre. I was giving my absolute best effort every day. Conditioning was horrible and so hard. And I despised going to practice. I felt like I could do nothing right, and I was just getting all negative coaching points. I felt like I wasn't being used for the little bit of skill that I thought I did have. I felt all these different emotions. And so I was barely playing on JV. You know, barely. And you just keep pounding. And because the mentality is, you just don't quit. You cannot break me. This sport cannot break me. I just don't quit. I will keep going. I will eat whatever's put on my plate, and I just won't quit. You just can't break me. And that's the mindset. And so no matter how bad I suck at something, it's like, I'm gonna keep going and keep pounding and keep chopping, because there's no other option. You know, me, when I look back and I had these mental conversations with myself, and I look back and I think about how badly I wanted to quit, and that there's no use. Well, maybe my dream's over. Maybe there's something else for me. I saw it, and there's a little voice in the back of your head saying, you know, that's selfish. You want to quit, but you know the real reason why. You want to choose comfort over your dream. You want to choose comfort over passing that threshold and bettering yourself. And it's the comfort crisis. It's the war against mediocrity. And that's what we're faced with every day. And so everyone has an ultimate goal. If that ultimate goal is to be comfortable, they will see everything that happens to them or things that happen in life through that filter, through that lens of, if something happens where I'm on JV, maybe I want to be starting, or I think I should be starting, or maybe I have all the talent in the world to be starting, but I would have to step out of my comfort zone to get there. If your goal is to be comfortable, if your goal is to be safe, then you're going to use anything that comes your way to achieve your ultimate goal. So if it's to be comfortable, you're going to settle. You're going to settle, or you're going to choose selfish mediocrity over something like that. Now, if your goal is to be the best version of yourself and whatever it is, maybe you're going to be an accountant someday. But if you're on the JV football squad, you're there for a reason. And what's your mentality? It's to be the best version of what? Best version of yourself. And so you're going to view things as, that is an opportunity for me to run through that brick wall and not stop until it's knocked over. And you're going to view it as an opportunity to get better, to be tougher, to be more fire resistant. And So I say everyone has an ultimate goal, and I would implore everyone listening to dig deep and to find what that ultimate goal is. If that ultimate goal is safety, or comfort, or excuse, or attention, I'd say do a deep dive and be sure that's the route you want to take with your life, because that's going to take you to, like we say, mediocre spots. That's not going to lead to the best version of yourself. But if your goal is the best version of yourself, the toughest version of yourself, the smartest version of yourself, the most loving version of yourself, the most gentle and kind and patient version of yourself, the most ambitious version of yourself, the version of yourself that your descendants are going to be proud of, if that's the goal, you have this 30,000 foot view. So when something so minuscule as a starting position or something goes wrong in my little JV world, then we can zoom out and say, hey, here's the big picture. Here's my ultimate goal. Here are the things that I'm caring about and the people I want to take care of and impress, my lineage. Like, are they going to look at me and see a wuss, or are they going to look at me and see a warrior? And so, when you have that big picture mindset and you have that filter, the day-to-day operations that happen, they're filtered through a completely different lens. So I'd say that's the number one thing, that mindset, that tough, smart, dependable, intentional, consistent mindset that came into play, and that kept me from quitting, and that kept me from choosing selfish comfort over my ultimate best. And so I'd say that, and it's always better when you don't quit and you just keep rocking, you just keep pounding. It's always better. Perseverance produces character, and that's biblical. That's secular. That's everything. That is a truth. And
founded in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered live radio broadcasts over the internet. We ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. Our live broadcasts stream on over 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks. Visionary entrepreneurs Douglas and Donald Newsom have crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. Experience the pinnacle of web radio and TV engineering. Compare our unbeatable prices, exceptional services, and comprehensive offerings with any other professional provider, and you'll see why we're unparalleled in the industry. Call us at 1-800-338-4393. BBS Radio TV, a pioneer of new media production since 2004. We're not just changing lives, we're rattling cages. Tune in to a sitting senator, a bishop, doctor, a lawyer, even a celebrity host going from A to Z on the information spectrum. Here at BBS Radio TV, your world is about to expand. From metaphysical politics to 3D chess, we cover the full spectrum of mind candy to set you free. Oh, and one more thing. Call 1-800-338-4393 to become a talk show host. That's 1-800-338-4393.
Stay tuned for Building the Athlete, the show that takes you inside the journey from potential to powerhouse. Join your host, Hall of Fame athlete, Hall of Fame coach, and sports performance expert, Scott Benson, as he breaks down what it really takes to develop elite performers. This week's episode features Arizona Cardinals tight end Tip Riemann sharing his path to the NFL, the mindset behind his rise, and the training that shaped him into a pro. Whether you're an athlete, coach, or parent, this is your blueprint to athletic excellence. Don't miss Building the Athlete, where champions are developed.
Okay, so welcome back to the show. We've got Tip Riemann here of the Arizona Cardinals, having some great conversation here about mindset. And one more question related to that in the last segment that you spoke, Tip. I think what you're really referring to is that your wants and your goals, they have to be based on intrinsic value. And this is something that I deal with a lot, and I'd like to get your opinion on it. I see a lot of athletes that come to me, they want to be great, but But when I start to ask them about what their goals are and what they're really trying to get out of this, it becomes very evident very quickly that maybe it's not their goal, that maybe it's the goal of a parent. And, you know, just your experience around sports, and obviously probably the higher level you get to, there's less of that. But think back to like even middle school, high school days. I always get a kick out of, you know, we're summertime training and I'm dealing with baseball players, and I'll ask these kids, hey, you know, when's your next game? And, you know, the answer I get is, I don't know. I got to check with my mom. Are you kidding me? Like, when I played Little League Baseball, I had every game wrote down on the schedule. I knew who was probably going to pitch against us. That was my life. That was everything at that point. And so to hear kids say, well, I got to check with my mom, that tells me that maybe this isn't their goal. And so I'd just like to get your take on that.
That's sad how common that is, Scott. that's not the way it should be. Intrinsic value in an intrinsic drive. The goals have to be, like you're saying, the goals have to be yours. They have to mean something to you. They have to be something where if there's certain circumstances that come and parameters that are thrown your way that are lesser than perfect, the intrinsic drive within you that is unshaken. It has to be some goal set inside of you. About something inside of you that's not, it can't be affected by outside noise, outside just influences in general. It has to be something that's rooted in you, like you're saying. It can't be your mom's goal or your dad's goal, or it can't, like even I'll say the extrinsic goals, you know, like I would love to be a 100-meter dash champion. That is an awesome goal. Now, everything is an F and a failure if that is not achieved. But, right? But
that's a result. It's not a goal.
That's a result. That's the real goal is, and some of this is a little bit intangible, right? And you kind of know it when you see it. But the ultimate goal has to be, I'm going to every single day put my best foot forward. And what does that look like in your sport or for that individual? My goal is every single day I went into the weight room with intent, and I did it every single day. I did it consistently. Intentionality and consistency. Those are my two big words that I preach all the time. I love them. I live by them. And so for me, that's an intrinsic goal that I'm going to be as intentional as I can, and I'm going to be consistent in all of those intentionalities. I know what that's going to breed. That's going to breed what's supposed to, and I don't know exactly what that result's going to be, like you're saying, but it's going to breed something really good, and I know that because I'm doing something that's taken care of. It's a process-oriented goal. It's not a result-oriented goal. And, you know, if the result is especially, I want to please my dad, I want him to be proud of my athletic prowess or what have you, then we got to reshape our values, and maybe that parent, if he's listening and he can sense that that's coming from his son, or he's pushing that on his son or mother. Therefore, I think that needs to be a wake up call. If they're listening to this, they're number one, your son or daughter isn't your everything. They're not your path to heaven. They're not your path to a successful life. And you're just driving them into a hole, putting all your value and your worth into their success or their failures. And so number one, that's that. Number two, for the child or for the young adult, they have to have that intrinsic value where they're chasing after something that is kind of beyond what we think of as a result-oriented goal. It has to be something that's a process-oriented, purposeful, intentional thing that is near and dear to their heart, and it's personable to them. It's a goal that maybe you can't measure, but it is a goal that they will know it, and they can stay consistent with that when they achieve it or don't achieve it. Again, it's hard to explain, but that's that intrinsic stuff. It has to be something that's fully yours, fully convicted of, and you know that that's a process-oriented thing that's going to yield great results, but you have to be right here in this moment.
Okay.
That's kind of where I take that. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree with you 100%. If it's not something that you truly care about deep down inside, and you're going to find that comfort that you were talking about at some point. It's just, it's most people's human nature to pick comfort over discomfort. You know, we always talk about getting comfortable, being uncomfortable. That's not for everybody. So,
'cause it hurts.
It does hurt. And I see it with athletes. You know, they love to get in the gym and play basketball or go out to the football field and run routes. Mm-hmm. People don't like to come to me because it's not going to be fun, but that's where that growth happens. And so I congratulate you on that mindset and the fact that you always have pushed beyond what you thought you could do. I think we've covered the mental side there. We've solved all the problems in the world because we're smart, strong mentalities. Let's talk a little bit more about actual training. So, start by telling another little story. You know, I was fortunate enough to come to the 2024 Combine and watch you. You quickly became a fan favorite. And if you haven't ever been to the NFL Combine, it's not really, especially Friday night, it's not really a fan-friendly event.
Yeah.
You kind of have different groups broken up throughout the stadium, and somebody will do something, you'll hear some cheers. Then another group will make some cheers for a certain person. I'll never forget, you guys were hitting the sled. And guys would hit the sled and kind of pick it up and drop it back down. And then you came up and you hit that sled and drove that thing about 15 yards. Everybody in that stadium cheered. And you quickly became a fan favorite, and I think they really latched on to the small town boy thing and played that up. So that was a good time seeing that. But your physicality as a tight end, I mean, number one, your size. Are you the biggest tight end in the NFL?
No, there's a tight end on the Steelers. He's like an extra tackle. He's like 310 pounds.
Is he really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. But you are one of the bigger tight ends in the NFL.
And I'd say behind him, yeah.
Yeah. And knowing what I know about you and how you play, you're physical. You love to be in the trenches. You love to seek out that D end or that linebacker and hit him as hard as you can. Number one, first question, and this, I guess, not moving on just yet to the training side, but I've talked to a lot of guys that, you know, made it to the NFL in some capacity or the other, and kind of, you know, a message I've gotten from a lot of them is you got to have that switch.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys, and I've been around a lot of guys that they're athletic enough to play in the NFL. They didn't have that switch. Do you think that's a true statement?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Our team is every year there's thousands of guys at pro days. There's thousands of guys trying to go to the league. Very small fraction of them get in and join the people who are already in. The people who are already in and those guys in the springtime, you got about 100 guys, dwindles down about 50%. 53 guys on an active roster. You see the guys that have the switch and that don't. And the guys that have the switch, there's some lucky guys that don't have a switch, but are just that athletic and that talented. That is a very small number, but you see it. You see it. You know it when you see it. When you go against guys on the other side of the ball that have that switch and they have that, they are going to try to embarrass you in front of your wife and your kids, you know, and that is something that, you know, I want to play alongside and I want to have on my team. And that's something that I wholeheartedly know that I resemble. And I want to be the kindest and most patient and everything. You know, I want all the righteous virtues all the time. And one of the righteous virtues is to, and this is not verbatim, but it's maximizing your gifts, right? And one of my gifts is violence and grit. And so when it is time, we can laugh in the huddle, we can laugh on the sideline, and then it sinks in and it's time to go. And you know, we're like, I'm going to try to embarrass that person in front of me, in front of his wife and his kids. And I'm going to try to make him quit. I'm going to try to do everything in my power to make him lose hope that I'm going to see you over and over and over and over and over in this game, and maybe twice a year, every year, And that's my goal. I want to mentally dwindle someone down. And I want them to know that when 87 is coming, there's no hesitation. He's not going to pitter patter his feet. He's going to keep running right through your face. And that's that switch that you're talking about. That's, you get other guys that are just like that and that'll meet you like that and they'll meet you in the hole. And it's like, it makes me smile because it's so fun. When you know that you've got that and they've got that and you just met and you did something that you only get to do with a certain type of person a few times in your life. And you just both do it at 100 miles an hour. There's nothing better than that. And so, to answer your question, that's real. And that is definitely one of the defining factors of it is dog eat dog. It is my paycheck over your paycheck. It is my family having food over yours because I can overcome you in that way. And so it's 100% that. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head.
Awesome. Okay. So let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's talk some training. So I'm going back to the NFL combine. We kind of got off there a little bit. One of the biggest tight ends in the NFL, one of the, like you said, grittiest, nastiest, gonna hit somebody, and you love that part of it. But what people don't understand, and at the NFL combine you ran a 4.64 40 yard dash. You were disappointed. I knew you were disappointed. Everybody else was talking about how fast that was for somebody your size. And the other thing that I also knew is that you had run a 4.51 40-yard dash the week before that preparing. Okay, that doesn't make sense. Somebody your size running that fast. So that doesn't just happen. That is something that has to be trained and through lots and lots of repetition learned. And I deal with, I think speed training is overlooked massively when we talk about athletic performance. And I don't know why that is, because it's the thing that separates athletes at every level of every sport.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, how did you get to that point? How did you get to be that fast at that size?
Well, I appreciate it. And to emphasize your point that all coaches at this level, everyone at this level, knows that speed kills. And if you're not fast, but you're super strong or something like that, it doesn't matter. Speed kills, and you're only going to encounter the fastest people in the world at this level or at the top levels of anywhere. So to be able to handle whatever body weight you are, you don't have to be the biggest at your position or anything. Whatever body weight you are, whatever position you are, it's like, you better be moving. Speed kills. That's just a fact. To answer your question though, foundationally was working with you. And before that, I had done, I did general sprints, I did general training and all that. But then when I came and I got a sophisticated training plan under direct care and supervision and coaching from you in the weight room, but also you being my track coach for a number of years, getting to have that in season. We did a lot of stuff in season, out of season, not just in track season though. Like, we trained like we were in track year round, because why wouldn't you want to be fast year round? A cheetah is not slow for a portion of the year. It's got to kill all the time. You got to be ready. It's kill or be killed. And so you don't take breaks from being fast. And so that training with you was really important. And that definitely laid the foundation, because, you're getting so many more years of maxing out those anaerobic capacities and getting that fast twitch developed as much as I possibly could. The speed strength, the strength speed, everything, just the absolute strength too. Like, we worked it all at your gym, and that propelled me to understanding what the intent behind everything. When I went to O'Gorman, when I went to Illinois, and when I went to combine training, and then when I'm here, that set me up to know there's a certain intent behind what we're doing. And if I'm not, again, intentional and consistent with that intentionality of my training, then I'm not going to dial in those workouts. I'm not going to up my type 2 fibers like I could, the little percentage that I could have gotten if I didn't have that intention. Everybody knows that when you're doing speed work in the weight room, against, you know, accommodating a resistance of some kind. If you don't have the intent behind it, it doesn't do anything. You know, you have to, it's all about intention and your effort. And so having that background and having that drilled into our heads of what we're looking for and how we're going to do things and doing it on a yearly and year in and year out basis, you know, that was really important for me. And then as we went further into my career, you know, Illinois was great training. And then after Illinois, I got to kind of come back to that speed first mindset, and really work on that. And that kind of, it kind of like unlocked what felt hidden, you know, beforehand, which was really cool because I always felt like I had that speed, but it almost felt like I got to refine it a little bit extra during those moments where you're really teaching speed at that point because you have all of that, but you're unlocking it through the teaching of the technique and the teaching of all of the things that, you know, you were teaching us starting at a young age through track and through everything with technique and everything. But so that was really cool as far as unlocking it. And I felt like the culmination of everything with the intention of our training, ranging from speed training, actually running. Now I feel like not a lot of people just run now. There's all these silly modalities that people use. They don't just like lift heavy and fast and run fast. There's a million things that they use. But we did that, you know, so foundationally that set me up for the rest to come. And then there's a genetic potential that's involved too, you know, and so my genetic potential said, hey, he could be this fast. And so that was part of it. Maybe there's some people out there that they can't be a certain speed because their genetic potential is not that. But I will say that's probably one of the last limiting factors. And so people shouldn't use that as an excuse. They should use their training and their work ethic to achieve what goals they can. I think a lot of people like try to fall back on their genetics as an excuse nowadays because there's just a lot of trendy, weird things where people try to blame their genetics for things.
Right. All right, great stuff. We're going to take another quick break. All right, welcome back to Building the Athlete. We're here with Tip Reiman, tight end for the Arizona Cardinals. Tip, we've been talking a lot about just development. We've been getting into the speed conversation. You made a comment about how, you know, when you get to the professional level, that it's all about speed. And no matter what position you're at, you've got to be faster than the other guy. One thing I want to make sure that we don't take emphasis off with training is I'm a big speed guy, a big velocity guy, but I lift my athletes like they're power lifters. So I always kind of refer to them as power lifting track athletes. So training speed, but you know, our guys get heavy in the weight room, love Olympic lifts. You know, there's so much out there. I saw Gronk talking the other day about how if he had to go do it all again, he wouldn't have lifted so hard because he lost a lot of mobility and he was a real high-end baseball player and that kind of went downhill once he started lifting heavy. Well, that just tells me he was lifting heavy the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like you to just touch on that subject because I know, yes, speed is such an important thing, but that doesn't that doesn't give you time off in the weight room or allow you to go easy in the weight room. It's still got to be high intensity, but it does change depending on in season, off season, where you're at. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways you can go with it, but I would say, like you said, there's a misnomer out there that, you know, lifting hurts you or puts you in a bad position, or lifting makes you stiff or what have you. If you lift in a terrible range of motion and you lift heavy with bad form in that terrible range of motion, you're probably going to get terrible range of motion results. Now, if you lift in an extremely awesome range of motion with great form, your tendons and ligaments and your joints and all of the bone density, like everything is going to thank you for it. And you're going to feel better for it. A lot of guys use massages to get back from games. A lot of guys use physical therapy. I lift because lifting makes me recover better. It brings my body back. If I have a thigh contusion, I could go to the trainer all day and night long for weeks and it's not going to get better. But if I get under a heavy bar and I squat and I squat deep and it's like, I want to cry because of the pain. Better next day. I'm ready to roll. You know what I mean? There's just lifting is good for you. So to clear up the misnomer, it is so good for you as far as your health goes, as far as your longevity. I mean, you know better than anybody with, you know, the back things that we've talked about with you and getting back into lifting and how it's helped and all of the above. There's plenty of examples to draw from, but as far as feeling good goes in that camp, lifting done right with intention and with, if you're not a skilled lifter, with direct coaching from someone who actually knows what they're doing is a great, great thing. As far as performance goes, you don't have to be a big meathead to lift heavy. I see my wife in college, she was a diver. She's obviously, I'm married to her. I think she has a great figure. And she's at 150 pounds in college. She was deadlifting 300 and front squatting 245. And she didn't look like a big meathead like I do, but that transferred. She was more powerful than all the divers on her team or in the Big Ten, in my opinion. She was more powerful. Now, that doesn't translate to direct talent on your sport or whatever, but that gets you ahead because she, like for her example, she had more time in the air to do what she needed to do because she was more powerful. And so for us, no matter what the conversation is, what sport we're talking about, being more powerful and being able to produce more force cannot hurt you. What is it? Mark Bell says, weakness is never a strength and strength is never a weakness. And so I see that all the time. You see that at my level. You see that when I was back and I was in middle school and we were training together, high school and we were training together. If you are strong and you are strong in the right ways, you are not going to be worse off for it. And being able to put force into the ground and force into another human being are some of the two most important things in sport that we can name, you know. And so lifting heavy and being able to run fast are super, super important. And that's why you trained the heck out of them when you trained us, you know. That's amazing.
So answer this question for me. At this point in your career, a lifting as part of your regimen, is it more injury prevention or is it more performance-based?
Some people will fall into the injury prevention stuff, but as far as what we do at the Cardinals and what I am in the camp of, fully performance-based. It's output is what is always being measured, and putting big weights up is a very, very good thing. And putting moderate weights up at a very high speed is a very, very good thing. And those outputs are measured and taken into account and constantly managed and overseen.
Let me ask that question in a different way, because it's not exactly, I think the way that you answered it, maybe you weren't understanding what I was asking, but lifting heavy weights, do you think it has a huge impact on injury prevention?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Lifting heavy weights. I mean, because if you think about it, like the way we talk about it, the Cardinals, Coach Evan Marcus, he's been in the league for, I think, 30 years now. He and Buddy Morris is at our, you know, a legend in the strength and conditioning field. He's there. Armor is what we're putting on all the time. And so if you aren't strong and if you're not putting up heavy weights, you don't have as much armor, period. And muscle is armor. The more armor you have, the less likely you are to get hurt. And that's a very well-known thing. And also there's plenty of studies and research now where like we implement at the Cardinals a lot of specific isometric things, whether it's overcoming or yielding, we do them at specific times for very specific things. But that whole world coming into play with the new research and everything, that has accelerated our tendon and ligament health and growth, and people coming back to play, but also retaining them in injury prevention. And that's all what it's loaded. It's in the weight room. It's a physical exertion where there's a lot of effort put into it and you're loading your tissues in significant ways. And those ways vary, but you're loading them significantly. So you're getting your meathead stuff, you're getting your powerlifting, but you're also getting your very specific intentional things for individual needs and you're marrying the two as well as getting on the field and having your speed work and everything. So it's a marriage of all of those things. But yeah, lifting heavy and lifting in those intentional ways is very good at injury prevention.
Yeah. And I think you made a good point that it's got to be intentional, and it's got to be programmed the right way, and it has to be performed the right way.
Founded in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered live radio broadcasts over the internet. We ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. Our live broadcasts stream on over 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks. Visionary entrepreneurs Douglas and Donald Newsom have crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. Experience the pinnacle of web radio and TV engineering. Compare our unbeatable prices, exceptional services, and comprehensive offerings with any other professional provider, and you'll see why we're unparalleled in the industry. Call us at 1-800-338-4393.
Stay tuned for Building the Athlete, the show that takes you inside the journey from potential to powerhouse. Join your host, Hall of Fame athlete, Hall of Fame coach, and sports performance expert, Scott Benson, as he breaks down what it really takes to develop elite performers. This week's episode features Arizona Cardinals tight end Tip Riemann sharing his path to the NFL, the mindset behind his rise, and the training that shaped him into a pro. Whether you're an athlete, coach, or parent, this is your blueprint to athletic excellence. Don't miss Building the Athlete, where champions are developed.
All right. Awesome time today with Tip Riemann. Talked about a lot of different things in the strength and conditioning world, life as an NFL football player. We talked about nutrition. We talked about recovery. We talked about everything there is to talk about revolving around those topics. What a wonderful, mature young man. But I think that, you know, in closing, the thing I'd like to talk about the most is just the mentality he brings to everything that he does. And I mentioned that in the introduction. You know, he just does the right things all the time. And his analogy of laying a brick down every day sums it up so well. He does every little thing he can to make himself the best athlete, the best husband, the best father that he can possibly be. And really enjoyed the time today. Again, BensonSportsTraining.com, Benson Sports Training on Instagram, Facebook. If you would like to reach out to me, talk more about our online coaching programs, would love to speak with anybody out there. We train everyone from professional athletes to 8-year-olds to the 70-year-old that's looking to keep their golf game steady. Everybody's an athlete to me that is trying to get better at something. So again, BensonSportsTraining.com. Please give us a look, give us a follow, leave a comment. Would love to hear from you.